Hallelujah.
Thank you, Ray. Let's turn your Bible with me to John chapter 15. Okay, it's a familiar verses to all of us, John chapter 15. And I will skip the rest of the verses from verse 1, and I'll pick up from verse 7 and 8. Okay, let me read. I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done to you. It shall be done for you. Yes. By this my Father is glorified, yes, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. You know, it's interesting that when you read the context of this, I mean, Jesus, he has about 12 hours to go to the cross, okay, and he's picking particular subject that you want to leave behind with the disciples. Now, these 12 guys that Jesus picked them up, these are the guys that will carry on all his hopes, everything that the Father has sent him. This is how the guy that's going to build the church. So he's picking particular subject that he's going to talk to them before he died. Okay? So if you read from verse 4 to verse 10. Yeah, verse 4 to verse 10. He used the same word 10 times. The word abide. He used the word abide 10 times. In almost like in 7 sentence, he used the same word, abide. And the disciples, you know, they have no idea. They have no clue what is going to come upon them. If you read in chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 18, Jesus is crucified. I mean, he's arrested at chapter 18. But you read at verse chapter 17, I mean, the disciples still didn't get it. Because Jesus was saying something incredible to them. They said, wow, we now believe that you came from God. And Jesus said, you just got it now? He said, in hours to come, you guys, all of you, will be scattered. In hours to come, you will leave me. But I will be with my Father. You just see how he didn't get it. Gives a lot of hope to me. You know, they didn't get it. So he's in his heart and in his mind, he's thinking, wow, these are the guys they're going to carry on. I better give them. I better give them what they need for the hours to come. And he said, abide, 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 abide. 10 times in one sermon. Out of all of his sermons ready to go to the cross, his most common word he used in his 3 chapters before was the word abide. And he used the story of the vine and the branches. You know, we all know the story. I'm not going to go into that. But the meaning of the word abide is this. Is to dwell, is to wait for, is to endure without yielding, is to bear patiently, to accept without objection, to remain stable in a fixed state, to continue in a place, to wait for, to endure without yielding, to bear patiently, to accept without objection, to remain stable in a fixed state, to continue in a place. Or to put up with something or somebody unpleasant. You know, all of us, we hear that word law-abiding citizen. It does not mean we like the law. You know, some of the laws we don't like it, but we know we have to abide to the law. Okay? we abide to the law. We call them law-abiding citizen. That Jesus knows that what is going to come upon them is not going to be nice. In fact, he already told them, some of these guys, they will kill you. And they will think that they are doing it a service to God by killing you. You'll be persecuted. You'll be scattered. You know, can you imagine the disciple? They were in like high notes of their life. I mean, they were with the master. There was like signs and wonder, miracle. They were the guys that hang around with Jesus. They got the anointing. I mean, they were it. They were the people that everybody wanted to associate with them, you know, because they hang around with the master. And now the time is coming. It's going to change. Okay? They will go through persecution. So that's why Jesus said, guys, you're going to abide. Abide in what? He said, you abide first in me. Remain in me. Stay. Don't move. In me. Yeah. We remain, we abide in the person of Jesus. If you read the Message translation, it says, you be at home. Be at home with Jesus. And let his word be at home with you. That's what the Message translation says. Abide in me as a person. You know, Jesus made some very interesting claims that he got into trouble for that. He got into trouble by making some very bold statement about himself. He said, like, you follow me. I am the only way to the Father. He told the people, he said, you know, I can forgive sins. You know, that really got him into trouble. He said, I am sons of God. I am the Son of God. I am God. You know, that really get worse. It just get worse. He makes a very bold statement about himself. I think, you know, it is time that to most of us Christians, we need to rediscover afresh again who Jesus is to us and why it is important for us to abide in him. Who is this guy who claims to be the Son of God, who claims to be God? He said, there's no other way. Anybody wants to follow me must pick up your cross and follow me. Otherwise, you're not worthy of following me. Who is this guy, Jesus? Why is he making such a claim? Why abide in him anyway? Why do I need to abide in you, Jesus? Because there is no other way. There is no one else. There is no one else. You know, there's a scripture in Amos chapter 3 that says like this, how can two people walk together? Lest they agree. How can we walk together with Jesus and, you know, he's one person, we are another person. He respects our choices. Why do we have to abide in him? How can two men walk together without them agreeing together? And it's incredible. You know, the only way for Jesus, for that to be allowed legally in the Bible, Jesus has to kill us. Kills us. He said, you consider yourself dead to sin, and you've been made alive to Christ. We are hidden. The Bible says we are hidden in Christ, in God. So when God sees us, he didn't see me, he see the Christ that... And he said, consider yourself dead to Christ. This is the only way you'll be able to follow me. I give you my mind. You can access my mind. You use my mind. Your brain, your own mind is not good enough to follow me. I mean, yes. He will not come down and think like us. Certainly not think like me. That's the only way we can follow him. So in his plan, there is no other better plan than this. Yeah. You just got to have to abide in me, full stop. Mm-hmm. There is no option. That's right. In me. We need to rediscover and appreciate afresh the preeminence of Jesus, the lordship, the kingship of Jesus. Who he is. I'll give you some scripture. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen, to the glory of God through us. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become righteous of God in him. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, blameless before him in love. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, that in the dispensation, in the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. All things in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Listen to this. In him, in Jesus, we also have obtained the inheritance, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of our own. Okay. For in him dwells all the fullness of God. Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head, the principalities of all power. In him you are also circumcised. You are buried with him. You were raised with him. Okay. In Christ. It's the same thing. You can just use the word Christ, or you can use the word they use, Jesus. Likewise, reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the law, to the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ. You guys are not going to be tired of this. No height, no depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. But of him you are in Christ, who have become a wisdom for us. Okay, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation, the whole things have passed away. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. There is neither male nor female, neither Jews, no Greek. For you are all one in Christ. You see the place of Christ? Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. In what? In Christ. Okay, two more scriptures. I just want to convince you. And raised us together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. In what? In Christ. That in ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ. For we are his workmanship, what? Created in Christ for good works, for God prepared beforehand. But now, in Christ, you are once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, that's just a few scripture. Hopefully that we are convinced enough that it's in Christ. Full stop. It is in Christ. He has the right to claim that because of who he is as God. He said, guys, abide in me. It does not matter what is happening out there in your world. If it is get tough, you have already found the answer, you stick there. Don't move. Don't go anywhere else. Don't quit. Just stay close. It's going to be tough, but you have found the answer. Stay there. It is in Christ that you find your placement in God. It is in Christ that we have been accepted in the Beloved. You know, John says like this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his Son so that we can live through him." He says in Colossians that we've been made alive in Christ, so therefore be established in him, be rooted in him, grow up in him, in Christ. For God's plan was everything to be done through Christ. So it is in the person of Jesus, that's why we need to abide there, remain there. Now Jesus is like the one-stop shop between heaven and earth. Earth go to heaven through Jesus. Earth come down, heaven come down to earth through Jesus. It's the one-stop shop. It's the door. That's why I said, I am the door. Okay, it's the access point between two worlds, according to Bill Johnson's explanation of the word door. It's the access point between two worlds. It's Jesus. I think Hudson Taylor said this, that the challenge in 21st century Christianity will be this, will be having a form of Christianity without Christ in the center. We have to have the same mind with God. We have to know what he's doing. What is his plan? If it's everything is going to be in Christ, then our abiding in Christ is crucial. Okay, Jesus said, he said, you abide in me and I in you. Okay, Jesus is already inside of us. He said in John 14:20, if you obey my word, I will come in. I am, my Father and I are one. I will come in and be inside of you. And he said, two verses down, he said, if you obey me, me and my Father will come and abide in you. He's living inside of us. He's abiding in us. The challenge is us. Because, you know, when you use the vine, they have, you know, the branches, they have no choices. They cannot detach themselves from the trunk of the vine. Whereas for us, we have choices. We have choices to forsake Jesus when the pressure comes on. We have the choices not to abide when things get tough. Do you know some of us, the challenges for us is, you know, we are not abiding in Jesus. We abide in everything else. When the pressure gets on, we oh my goodness, we forget our placement in Jesus Christ. That God has killed us, has put us in Jesus. We run to everybody else. We pick up other philosophies. We think of other people. And we forget God's answer. Abide. Okay, abide in Jesus. He's the guy. And he said, abide in my word. Let my word abide in you. That Ray was talking about. Pastor Ray. Abide in my word. You know, Jesus is the word. You cannot separate Jesus from his word. He is the word. He's the living word. If you read in Hebrews chapter 1, it says like this, that the whole world is held together by the power of Jesus' word. Hebrews chapter 1, just read that. He says, in the time past, God speaks through the prophet. But in this time, in our time, in that time, God speaks to us through Jesus. And he said that the power of his word holds the whole universe together. The power of his word. Jesus said, abide in me, abide in my word. Do you know, when you go to Ephesians chapter 6, you see the old hammer of God there. But the sword of the Spirit is the what? It's the word of God. I like it when, I think if you go to Psalm 132, it says like this, that God, above all things, he uphold his name and his word. Psalm 132, His name and His word. The word of God. We need to get the word of God to abide in us. And, you know, one of the best ways to get the word of God abide in me is meditation. I spend hours and hours on meditating on the word of God. I just love it. You know, the way I helps me to memorize, to meditate on this scripture in John 15, is I see a house, and the house is called Jesus. Everything inside the house is Jesus made. It's just Jesus, Jesus. You go to the kitchen, you go anywhere, it's just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I walk in the house, okay? I walk in the house to the Jesus house. I abide by His rule. And the only thing I'm allowed to get in is His word. His word is living all over me, inside, outside. That's the only thing I'm allowed there. I get in, this is for me personally at this time, I get into that space, I lock the door, and I throw the key away, because I don't want to get out of the Jesus house anymore. I have tasted enough the goodness of God in Jesus that I choose to abide in that forever and ever. Whatever temperature Jesus chooses to do in the house, I will abide to that. Whether it's winter, summer, whether it's persecution, everything that He allows in my abiding with Him, I say yes to that. I remain. I'm loyal. I give my life for this. Because I've tasted enough to see the fruit and the benefit of abiding. Abide in me, abide in my word. To some of us, that will be the challenge. One of the biggest challenges for us will be how we meditate, how we get God's word into our life, into our system. Because you cannot really abide with Jesus without His word. It is impossible. If you abide with Jesus without His word, what sustains you while you're abiding with Jesus? It is His word that sustains you. What do you converse when you are with Jesus? His word. That is the conversation material. That is the guideline. That is the reference point of your walk with Jesus, is His word. He absolutely loves His word. He is the word, the Logos and the Rhema word. He is the word. Cannot be separated. The word is the revelation of who Jesus is. And an incredible reward. He said, hey, you know, while you're abiding with me and your word is abiding in you, ask me anything. Ask me anything, I will give it to you. But you have to ask me whatever you desire. It's like Jesus signed an open check. Just signed the open check. He said, just fill in the amount. What do you want? Tell me, while you are abiding with me, while my word is abiding in you and you are abiding in Jesus, while we are hanging around together, hey, what do you decide? What do you want? The incredible reward that He gives to us. You know, let me tell you, this is my own conclusion, you know. In verse 8, it says, for this is why you give glory to my Father. Now let me quote it. Let me read it from the Bible in case I read an Ephesian translation to you. John 15. Where is John? I know he's sitting in front of me. It says here, that by this is my Father's glory is glorified. By this is my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You know, I think, for me, that it is safe to say that the glory that you bring to God your Father is incomplete without you receiving the reward of your heart desires. It's not just the fruitfulness in the ministry, part of the glory that you bring to God, part of what God is glorified through the answered prayers of your heart desire. It's the same thing. It's not just the fruitfulness in the ministry or in your life. Part of the fruitfulness is the answering for the prayers in your heart, the desires in your heart. You know, the reward that we get from Jesus, I mean, this guy is just, he pays us so handsomely. The reward that he gives to us when we abide in him and abide in his word is staggering. Jesus said, the Bible says like this, those who come to him must believe that he exists, that he is a rewarder of those who faithfully or diligently seek him. Just abide, just stay there. Don't run away when you hit the problem. The more the problem, the harder the problem, the deeper you stay in Jesus. Stay put. Don't run away. Stay in there. You pray until God gives you something. You only leave his presence until you feel the peace of God, until you are satisfied. Otherwise, stay there. Abide. Stay there. Let me give you one about this thing about desire. I was in Australia, as you know. Share my testimonies a few months back. And when I arrived there, I was driven straight to one of my daughter that used to come here, Mele. Okay? She's working in a shoe shop in Australia, in Sydney, that they only sell brand, you know, brand of shoes and sports shoes. And people come in there and they get fitted specifically what's the size of it. They fitted it and they go to the factory and they make it specifically for you. Okay, so I go in there. I said, wow, you know, this is like an upgrade. I go in there. Mel said, Dad, what are you wearing to the church, to the conference? I said, I'm wearing this, the same shoes. He said, oh, Dad, can you please choose anyone here? Don't worry about the price. Any brand here, choose one. I said, okay, I'll pick that. Then he said, what about the conference? What are you wearing to the conference? Because I'm going to a dinner first and I'm going to go to... What are you wearing to the conference? I said, same shoes. He said, okay, pick another one. Take two. And I'm thinking, wow, this is more than my return ticket to Australia. He said, pick anyone. I'm sitting there, I pick one. So on Sunday, one of office cousins was going to come and pick me up. And I was thinking on Saturday night, I was thinking, wow, you know, those canvas are really nice. I don't want to just I walk around in Mangere. You know, I just want to wear something, another canvas. But, you know, it does not have to be expensive, but another canvas, but not that expensive one. Okay? I already got two in one trip. And it was just a desire in my heart. Office cousin came and picked me up on Sunday morning, and he took me straight to a shopping center. And he said, let's get out, let's go and do some shopping. I said, no, because I know in the island mentality, they will feel pressure to buy something for you. So I just sleep in the car. For about 1 hour, she came back, the shopping. She opened the front door. She said, this is your walking shoes, your walking canvas. It was just a desire in my heart, you know. I was thinking, wow, God, you are incredible. I already got two. You know, I got another one. In one trip, I came back. My wife said, my goodness, your suitcase is just full of shoes. The new shoes that you come up with and the two old ones that you took to Australia. He gives us the desires of our heart. When I come and share the testimony, what? It brings glories to God. Okay? Let me tell you another thing about desire. My dad passed away a few years back, and I got the telephone early in the morning, 6 o'clock. They said, my brother called, he said, Dad passed away. So the first thing I think, okay, I have no money for my airfare to Fiji. I'm the eldest son. I'm culturally, I am expected to, you know, to run the show. So I have no money. So I call up this one person that owed me something, money, and I knew that it's enough for my ticket. And she said, sorry, I don't even have the money to. I said, okay. So I do what we normally do. I go back and ask the Lord, okay, God, do you want me to go? And God said, what is in your desire? That's the first time I hear God audibly to talk back like that. And all this time I just go said, God, yes or no? And God said, what is in your desire? By the time I was in a mess, I was crying. Because my dad, he never raised me up. But since I became a Christian, he became a Christian when we had a good relationship. And I said, God, I want to go and bury my father. And I said, I need $1,000 beside my AFS. Straight after we talked with God, what is in your desire? And the phone rang again. The same person said, oh, I'm sorry. I have enough money with a travel agent that I put money to. I have enough money there for you to go and pay a ticket. So I got my ticket. Guess how much I took to Fiji? $1,000. Okay, when my mother died, I was speaking at a church conference, Easter camp. And when we were told that my mother died, and I said, okay, I went and told the people that hosting the conference, I told them, sorry, guys, I have to go back. My mom has passed away. And I don't have any money. At the time, I was working with YWAM. And my mother, I'm the only child. At least from my father, there's few brothers. His brothers are still alive. From my mother, I'm the only child. And it make it worse, I am a missionary and I'm a Christian. Now, everybody's gone. This is like the testimony of God at stake here. I am expected to go in there and call the shot, bury my mother. I remember we're standing there. My wife asked me, how much do you need? I said, 5,000 Fijian dollars, including my airfare to Fiji. 5,000 Fijian dollars. And while we were talking, the church came in and they gave us the tithe of that. They gave us $500. And when the funeral was over, I collect exactly 5,000 Fijian dollars. Think of this. 5,000 Fijian dollars for a funeral? Who would waste money on that? That's what some of you are thinking. But not God. You abide in me, and you abide in my word, abide in you. Whatever you ask, what's in your desire, I will give it to you. Because that testimony brings glory more to God than to me. It brings glories to the Father. Okay, abide in His word. Whatever God says, do it. Okay, you abide in Jesus and you have to abide in His word. I told you the testimony of how I was in Papua New Guinea. I was in Papua New Guinea in 2014. And my wife was working. He got the money to pay the rent. And I was doing my YWAM, trust God or die, traveling. It was so good to know that your rent is taken care of, and you trust God, everything else. And I was in Papua New Guinea, I was in Leh, and I got a phone call from my wife, said, I just feel like I want to resign from my work. I can't do both, study and work. I feel it's right for me. He said, I'm submitting this to you, I want you to pray about it. I said, okay, give me the weekend. I prayed. By the weekend, I get back to her. I said, I feel from the Lord it is okay for you to resign. I press into God until He gives me a scripture. And God gave me Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I said, this is the scripture that the Lord told me. Go ahead and resign. For the last 2 years, from 2015 to 2014 to 2016 now, that 2 years He has resigned, our rent has been paid. And on top of that, listen to this. Our rent went up to $500. And the guy who was supporting me financially, he died. I said, okay, God, you take him first to heaven. Huh? What about me? He's the only guy who's supporting me. Then the other guy was another businessman. He said, sorry, I've been supporting you for years. I can't do that anymore. I have to rely on the word of God. the word of God. Psalm 23, he already spoken to me. I have to abide. It was tested. I had to remain there. I keep on, we lying down there. I said, Psalm 23, God, that's what you told me. I'm holding on to your word. Often them, they ask me to come and speak in their school about faith and finance. I told them, this is the principle of walking out in faith. You just listen to God, whatever God tells you. It may look crazy and stupid and silly to everybody else, even to the YWAMers. You do whatever God tells you. So I came back, and I talked with them. You know, money was not coming. There was nothing coming. And everybody was saying, guys, you're supposed to do fundraising. You're supposed to go and sell some sauces, do some barbecue. What are you guys? You guys are supposed to be fasting. I mean, they even give them scriptures. They hear from the Lord. We heard from the Lord that you guys are supposed to be fasting. You know, I tell them, what did God tell you guys? Okay, stay there. Don't worry about the pressure. I went and visited them 3 days. I went and visited them 3 days before they were supposed to fly out. I asked them, how much do you guys have? Oh, we got about $3,000. That's just like the minimum. We have some other expenses. Okay, how much is there? They said, that's it. We need $3,000. This was on a Wednesday, and they were flying out on a Friday. I said, you stick to whatever God has told you guys. If God says, praise me and rest, just do that. And breakthrough came. Because they what? They abide. You abide to the word of God. It's going to be tested. You abide. You abide in Jesus. You abide in his word. Whatever you sow, ever you desire, it will be given to you. You know, if I tell you all the stories, I mean, we don't have time. I have stories after stories. I have books where I just write down stories of what God does for me. Abiding in him and his word, for me, this is why I am become a Christian. You know, I'll tell you this, you know, Ray is sitting here, so it is safe. For me, I used to think, if there's a way to cheat faith, you do this. You abide in his word and you abide in Jesus. You'll see miracles and miracles. Whatever is in your heart, he gives it to you. Because this is what brings glory to him. Our fruitfulness and the testimonies of God's work in our life, answering our prayers, is what brings glory to God. If that is not happening, then we are not bringing the maximum glory that we're supposed to give to him as an offering to our Father. Is him answering our prayers? You know, some of our prayers, you know, there are some things that was on my heart desire that I have never seen it yet. It does not mean I'm giving up, because I'm abiding to his word. Okay, I'm holding on to his word. But there are many things that I have prayed for and my heart desire has come through. I think, can somebody tell me the time? 10 past. Okay, I think I'll squeeze there. One more story. I was doing this crazy trip. I just came back from Palau. I was somewhere else, and I came back from Palau in Micronesia. I arrived here. I found out that in 1.5 days, I need to fly back to Vanuatu. So I arrived there in Vanuatu, and I'm saying, God, I miss my family. I miss my wife and my children. And from there, I was going to fly Vanuatu back to Fiji for another week. And I said, I miss my wife and my family. But I was teaching in a school, and I was teaching in the school. While I was teaching, I got this word. It was a very strong word. Cast all your cares on me because I care for you. So I declare that word. I told the class, I said, guys, just write down what is your concern. Just write it down. Because I felt this is the word. So I told them, okay, write it down. I want you to cast it. Throw it away from yourself. So they did that. And part of the thing that I threw, I was throwing it away too. Part of the thing I threw away, I said, I want my airfares for my wife and my children to meet me in Fiji after I finish from here. I throw it away. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I came check my email. The airline forwarded me the ticket for my two daughters. My wife already got a ticket. My daughters didn't have a ticket. They forwarded me the ticket. Somehow, the money came through. Whatsoever you desire, if you abide in me and abide in my word. If it is important to you, it is important to God. I might try and squeeze one more story. I was teaching in Fiji. I arrived there. In the place where I was speaking, I arrived there and I just listened to the conversation. I realized that they don't have my ticket. The trip, the plan was, I fly into Fiji and they'll fly me back to Auckland. I arrived there, I realized, I heard the conversation. There's nobody mentioning about my ticket. Nobody mentioning when am I flying out to Nandi from Mombasa. So finally they came to me, they said, there's no money to pay your ticket, both from here, from Mombasa to Nandi, and from Nandi to Auckland. We don't have any money. And plus, if you have the money, the booking is fully booked. We can't fly you even out from here. The booking is booked. So it's in the place of abiding. I go to God, I talk with Jesus, and I got the word. I came back to them. I said, I want you guys to go back and book my ticket. They said, what? They told us the place, and there's not even money. I said, don't worry about the money part. Just go back to the airline. Tell them I need to fly out on Friday. Why was I talking like that? Because I already got the word. Where did I get the word? In my abiding with Jesus. In my being with Jesus. I got the word. I came back, bold as a lion. I tell them, go back. You know, because I kind of get away with it because I'm the leader, you know. Just goes. And these guys, they have learned to whatever I tell them, they know this guy is not crazy. He has done this over and over. So they went and booked my ticket. And they said, they came back. They said, they will put you on the flight on Saturday. If the flight on Saturday is booked, but they put you on the waiting list. I said, that's fine. I'll fly out on Friday. So that was on a Wednesday. On a Thursday, they came to me. They said, oh, we got a call from the airline that one of the travel agent, one of the client already called him to cancel his flight, but he forgot to take it out of the system. So, but the problem is we don't have the money. Okay, it's okay, I'm flying out. So I'm speaking in the school and I saw this man walk in. I saw this man walk in straight into the classroom. He sit down there. I came and have lunch with him and pull out money from his pocket. He's coming to pay the student school fees. And I saw the staff there. Yeah! I said, what happened? Your airfares just come in. And the airline said for us to come and pay today. And this man has just walked in now. Now, the interesting part was there was another lady who was not supposed to be in school. She just felt to come into class. And when she came into class, she was not even a student. She said, I don't know about this, but I felt from the Lord to give this $130 to you guys. Not knowing all of that is needed for my FS. And the interesting thing is, while they were counting the money grew. I saw them, they're sitting there, they're counting, I saw them talking to one another. Did you count this right? They said, yeah, this is according to the receipt. That's what that man said. And the man was sitting there, I only gave that, $800, full stop. They count the money, it was $850. So they counted twice. And all of that is what I need to fly out. Why was I so bold about that? Because I abide in the word. It does not matter the circumstances. It does not matter the situation. If God says, God said it, you stick with that. You abide. You stay there. Abiding in God is, miracles, signs and wonders is part of my life, is part of my story. Those who work with me in the community of faith that I work in, when I walk in there, people who know me, they said, get that guy to tell you your stories. You know, sometimes I just share it with them so that they can borrow my faith for the time being. I charge no interest to them. It's free. Okay, one more. Last story. I was leading a school afterwards on staff. I was asked to come and lead this school halfway, 1 month after they were running the school. They were going to close it down. The leaders were going to back off. And they said, let's go and ask Tombali. They came and asked me. Knock on my door in Mount Roskill. They said, can you come and lead the school? We're about to quit. I said, okay. I came in. I run the school. 2 weeks into the before the school finished, they already heard from the Lord to go to Fiji for outreach. 2 weeks before the school finished, I came there. I did all the calculation. I asked the accountant. He gave me, I said, just give me a rundown. How much we need? He said, we need $7,000. And in 2 weeks' time, we need $7,000. That's for the airfare, for student staff, and the school fees. Everything that we owe is $7,000. I bring the staff, afterwards part of the staff. She was just like a junior staff. She didn't know what she was getting herself into. So I get them, I said, guys, just before we start this morning, I want to tell you that we need $7,000 in 2 weeks' time. I mean, you can hear a pin drop. All the faith left the room. Faith flew out. It was just like they were staring at me. Why are you staring at me? We need $7,000. So for me, just to reassure them, I told them, okay, we need $7,000. Did you guys really hear from the Lord that this team's supposed to go to Fiji? They said, yes. We got the word from the Lord. He gave us all the scripture. He gave us everything. And it's about Fiji. Okay, did we hear from the Lord to continue the school? Because when they asked me to come in, I said, let's go back to the Lord. Ask the Lord whether this school should continue. And all of us, including the students, we felt, God said, yes, let the school continue. I said, because we have had a track record, because God has spoken to us that we are supposed to go, let's trust God for $7,000 in 2 weeks' time. When we walk out of the meeting, I got a phone call. This was during the Conservative Party election. Which election? The other year. And the Conservative Party was on. I got the guy from the secretary. He said, hey, do you guys need some work? I said, yeah, definitely you need some work. And he said, there's some jobs available from Conservative Party for you guys to go to and distribute. We went and distribute their pamphlets. And you know, they pay us about $5,000. And the rest of the $2,000 came in. Why was that? Because we abide to the word. You abide in me and you abide in the word. Whatever you ask, it shall be given to you because it should bring glory to my Father who is in heaven. As I was praying for this message, one of the things that I really felt was the challenge to some of us that we really need to rediscover who this Jesus is afresh again. He's not just a nice baby guy that once came upon the earth and he died. No, he's God. He's the one who lives in us. He's amazing. He's incredible. That's an understatement. And his word. His word. One of the biggest challenges that I felt as I was praying, how do we even have time for his word? How do we have time for his word? How do we even have time for Jesus? How can the challenge for abiding in our days was incredible. But we have to make some sacrifice. We have to make some choices in order for us to bring glory to the Father in terms of our abiding in him and abiding in his word. I'll pray. I know I'm rushing. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to help us. I ask for a fresh revelation of who Jesus is to us and why he said that we need to abide in him. And I ask for change of appetite in our heart, that there will be such a hunger for your word, your word, your word, your word into our life, that we will be so hungry that will change our life, that will reorganize our priority, what we do with our time in terms of your word, in terms of our abiding, our staying, our remaining with you, because you already committed, you are already in us. Help us to turn to you who is already inside of us. We thank you for the great rewards that you give us. Thank you for listening to the desires of our heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. If anybody needs prayers, I know we are running out of time. If anybody needs prayer, okay, you can come up here and we'll pray for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tabale. That was awesome. So if you guys need ministry, Tabale is up here to pray for you. If we can have everyone's help with cleaning up the cafe after you guys have had a cup of tea or coffee, that'd be awesome. And remember to chat to Afo to hear some of her stories too. Thank you.